Talk about holiness. A lot of churches have ideas about holiness. There are even holiness churches, and I've got a friend that met in here on Sunday that has a holiness church. They meet down at the Mount Zion building right now. They used to meet in here on Sunday, holiness church. And they've got all kind of rules. This is what you got to do to live in holiness. It always revolves around women not cutting or coloring their hair, women wearing skirts. And what's up with all the oppression on the women? You know, the men seem to be able to do whatever they want to do, even if it's wrong. But the women, boy, they got a long list of rules for the women. And what's up with that? Holiness is not found in man-made rules. Amen? Holiness is not found in man-made rules. Holiness is found in God-made rules. God gives rules for holiness. And God expects us to be a holy people. Do you not know, it says in the book, in 1 Peter's letter, that you are called to be a holy people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Well, hey man, when you start looking in the Torah, you find out that the rules for the Israelites were not as stringent as the rules for the priests. A priest could not even touch a dead body unless it be his mother, father, wife, or children. Period. When my own mother died, I did not want to touch her body, because I saw no reason to be defiled by reason of a dead body, because it was very clear to me when I went in that room that my mother was not in that body. Y'all didn't get that. She died at night, the nighttime portion of the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. When she died, my dad came screaming in the room within minutes, and he even required me, took my hand and thrust it behind her head to see that her neck was still damp from the sweat. She had just died. I was looking at her and I'm realizing there's no need for me to touch this body because my mother is not in there. My mother is gone. Amen? So, the rules for priests are different. I want everybody to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is important. I think that the Pentecostals taking that name and using it in a wrong manner have kind of diminished the effect in everybody's minds. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The connotation is a lot more serious than I'm using it today. The connotation is that you're not going to see the Lord. You're not going in the kingdom without holiness. That's the connotation of the verse. That's what's behind it. I'm using it today talking about the presence of the Lord. Without holiness, you're not going to see Him in the here and now. Amen? We're discussing the presence of the Lord. Our whole ministry is based on you coming to church and feeling the presence of the Lord. Our whole service is set up so that you can come in and experience Jesus, not just hear about Jesus. You can go anywhere in the world and hear a story about a Jesus that's not necessarily the one in the four Gospels. Y'all didn't get that. I was talking to Raina the other morning about why I could feel comfortable in the worldwide church of God. Would you turn the recording level up on it just a little bit? And the reason is this. Every church in America has a picture of Jesus, right? We've all seen them. I couldn't go with that. Even as a young child, I'm looking up at that and I'm like, no, I can't deal with that. First of all, he looks queer. Come on, y'all didn't get that. Okay, you look up at that picture and he doesn't look like a real man. He looks like a girl. Men aren't supposed to look like girls. Then they tell you he's always nicey nice, right? He's always nicey nice. Oh, Jesus loves you. Meaning he'd tolerate any bad behavior you did. Now even as a young wild man that had no sense in the world, I knew that you weren't supposed to act wrong, even though I did it lots. Come on. Then I come to the worldwide church of God and they're presenting to me a Jesus who is a real man. How many of y'all know Jesus was a builder? I have never seen a builder that looks like that in my life. They got stout arms, they're strong, they can do things. You get into four Gospels and you find out that Jesus made a whip of cords and drove the money changers out. That little wimpy fag dude in all those pictures couldn't do that if he had an army behind him. Are you kidding? They'd have fought that dog down and drug him out in the city and killed him. Jesus went in there and took that whip and peeled the flesh off somebody, and everybody else ran because nobody was going to challenge him. He was a man of God. Zeal for your house has consumed me, O Lord. He wasn't playing games. Then you get in there and you read that he's rebuking people all the time. He didn't go to the Pharisees and say, "Why, you great devout men of Judah, you wonderful men of God, let me just show you a little small correction to make." He said, "Who warned you to flee, you brood of vipers? I'm fixing to take that tree to the axe. I mean, the axe to the trees, and it'll burn the chaff." He rebuked them over and over and over. He said, "You're of your father the devil." He wasn't nice to these people. So who is the Jesus of the Bible versus the one that's being put on people? Without holiness, no one's going to see the Lord. I want you to understand how to walk in holiness so that you can see the Lord. I want you to know how you can walk in holiness so that you can experience the Lord. Not the fiction of somebody's imagination, but the real Jesus who died on the cross for you. The real Jesus who kicked over the tables of the money changers. The real Jesus who's there to help you when you repent. Oh, but that little word repent always seems to come back. You see, the other churches put a Jesus out there who's going to forgive you when you don't repent. But the real Jesus says repent so you can enter the kingdom of God. The real Jesus says walk in holiness so that you can see God. The real Jesus says turn to me and I will turn to you. Not go your own way and I'll find you where you're at. See, the come as you are thing has evolved into a doctrine that's contrary to the Bible. Jesus didn't say come as you are. He said come back to me. We got to come back to Him. And the whole process of holiness comes back to coming back to Him. Oh, look, come on. How many of us know, gentlemen, that when we start to assemble something and it's falling all apart and not working, and we got a bunch of parts left over, we go back to the instructions. Oh, come on now. Come on. That is just not going to happen. There's not a red-blooded man in this woman who would admit to that even if he did it. Okay? So don't even go there. We go back to the instructions. It's high time for us to go back to the instruction book and look at holiness, find out what holiness is, and follow God's instructions. Our way hasn't worked. I started with the story of that Pentecostal church in Smyrna, Tennessee, where tongues are dying out. That man wanted to come in the prayer room and be able to pray with us in tongues. And what I find is I go to Perry Stone's year after year after year after year, it's our bunch of folks that prays in tongues as much or more than anybody in the house. Because we walk and we talk and we practice real holiness. And when you walk in holiness, you talk in holiness, you live your life in holiness, you have more power of the Holy Spirit living in you to be able to pray in the Spirit, get the Word in the Spirit, get the knowledge in the Spirit, have the wisdom in the Spirit, and to display the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, y'all didn't get that. Coleman gave me a bunch of films of Ray Vanderlyn. How many of y'all have heard about Ray Vanderlyn talking in the Holy Land, preaching in the Holy Land, explaining stuff from a Jewish perspective? He's a Presbyterian minister. And he brought up a point. Lanise got to watch a lot of those on Monday. I was busy doing stuff. But I was going through, and he was talking about how God placed Israel in the midst of three mighty empires. The Hittites in Turkey, the Babylonians and the Persians off to the east, and the Egyptians off to the south. So that as everybody does trade with each other, as these empires send diplomats back and forth to each other, they all have to go through Israel. So that here God put His chosen people in the midst of the nations and said, teach them to be like you. So that everybody has to go through Israel to get where they're going and see God's way of life. So what do? They decide they want to be like the empires around them and not the way God told them. I hear Christians all the time tell me this is a big movement in the Messianic community that everybody wants to go off and be in a kibbutz. I mean, you know what a kibbutz is? It's a big farm where they all live in communism. Okay? That's never worked. How many of y'all know that Jamestown was the original communist colony? It didn't work. They almost died off. In desperation, they finally said, look, we're going to portion the land out. You grow what you grow and you eat what you grow and that's all you get. Oh, now when that sense of urgency hit, the people could learn how to grow. Oh, when there's your plot of land and all you're going to have to eat is what you hunt out in those woods and what you grow on this piece of land. Oh, it's amazing how productive everybody got. But when everybody was expecting somebody else to grow the food and we're all just going to share and eat out of somebody else's plot, nobody got around to it. Oh, isn't that amazing? So everybody now wants to go off and be in a kibbutz somewhere. We want to all go off into the woods somewhere and live on somebody else's land, and we're all going to be one big happy family relying on somebody else to take care of our business. It's not going to work. You know the biggest reason it's not going to work? Jesus said, Father, I don't take them out of the world, even though they're not of the world. God wants you in the face of everybody on display, showing this wicked world how to live His way of life. Come on. He wants you on display. He's giving you these golden opportunities that we all dread. We talked about it before. Lunch is being catered in at work, and there's no clean food to eat. And you're dreading it. Oh, God, make sure something for me to eat. And God's like, I don't want you to have anything to eat. I want you to have to make a scene. I want you to have to say something to everybody. I don't eat that mess. Amen. He's wanting you to be in that situation. He doesn't want you to have a nice, comfortable lunch so you can sit over there in the corner and blend in. He wants you to stick out like a sore thumb so that you are the example of how to live. But what do we want to do? We want to hide. Sabbath comes up, and they are passing out assignments at work. I need somebody to work on Saturday. I want somebody to stay late on Friday night. And we're dreading it. We don't want to have to be confronted. We want to slink off and hide and just sneak on out to Shabbat. Woo, got me out of here. And what does God do every time? Somebody's always there to make a scene for you on the way out on Friday night. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. I sold cars. I had a problem every Friday night. God wanted me to have a problem every Friday night. He wanted me to hand a customer off to another salesperson every Friday night so that the example of Schultz keeps Shabbat would always be in their mind. I hated that. Come on, I'm just like everybody else. I wanted to skate on out. Woo, get me out of here. The customer I got at sundown on Friday never bought. It was just there to keep me there past Sabbath. Holiness. This word comes from the word is number 4005, and it means to have a holy life, set apart, sanctified. You've got to be set apart from the world. You can't be going the same way. God wants you to stand out. He wants you sanctified, which is another way of set apart for holy use. He wants you to take your body and set your body apart for holy use. Oh, that gets into things, doesn't it? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10, where you can see the Hebrew connotation of this word. Leviticus chapter 10, and verse 3. Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. You see, we have to show people how to honor God. We have to show God that we will set Him apart as holy, and that we will consider Him and His things holy. That means we have reverence. That means we have respect. That means we have honor. The rules of holiness that are going to follow this are how you show honor to God, how you show reverence to God, how you set yourself apart for holy use. And the first one is the Sabbath. I may not go to Sabbath first, but the first one is the Sabbath. You've got to show yourself holy to God by keeping His Sabbath. You've got to show yourself holy to God by following the dietary laws. Not every rule that's prescribed kosher by the rabbis, but every rule in Leviticus 11 for what to eat, how to eat, what to do it, when to do it. For instance, do you not know that you're not to eat an animal that dies of itself, even if it's a clean animal? Why? Because you're holy. You're holy. You don't do that. You don't eat another animal that was torn by another animal. So if you come across an animal, fresh kill, the lion's killed it, but you run the lion off, you can't eat the kill. Why? Because you are holy. The animal has to be killed and bled properly. Why? Because you are holy. You've got to make yourself holy to God. It's not about the length of your hair. Could be the length of your skirt, but that's a morality issue, not a skirt issue. Come on, somebody. You don't want to wear clothing that's provocative in a sexual manner outside of your relationship with your spouse. A holy life, set apart. Verse 10. You must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. You must make a distinguishment in your life. As you live your life, you've got to say, okay, this is holy, this is common. How are you going to learn that if you don't read the Torah? The Torah contains the rules for what is holy and when it's holy, and what is common and when it's common. And every one of us has those experiences in our life. Come on, everybody, when you go to the bathroom, that's not holy, that's common. And you have to realize and conduct yourself in a manner, I want to be holy. Therefore, when I have to go and do what all humans do, I'm going to take care of business in a way that when I come out of there, I can return to holy time. Come on. We have to consider every issue with our flesh and think about holiness. How to be holy in our conduct. Why? Because God has chosen you to be a royal nation, a holy priesthood. He has chosen you to walk in holiness as you can see Him. He does not want to be an abstraction of... You know, people in the United States right now want God to be a fantasy. A fantasy somewhere off. A storybook tale that all makes us feel good. God wants to be a real God having a real relationship with you in your real life and your real home. He doesn't want to be a fiction. He doesn't want to be a fantasy. He wants to be a real God, walking with you, talking with you, showing Himself to you. The things that happened in the book of Acts are supposed to be happening right now, and the return is returned. I had a vision and a dream last night that shows the return is imminent. We need to make sure that we're walking in holiness so that we can see Him. The people in the book of Acts saw the Lord. The people in the book of Acts talked to the Lord. The people who were walking in that time had encounters and confrontations with the Lord God of Israel that you know as Yeshua the Messiah or Jesus your Christ. And we are supposed to be living that same life right now. But as he says in Isaiah, your sins have separated me from you. We've got to get the sin out so we can be close to God. We've got to walk in holiness. The rules for holiness were given in the Old Testament so that God could walk in the camp. God will not walk in a camp that's full of uncleanness and unholiness. We have to walk in holiness so that He will walk in the camp. Do you know what a profound thing it is to have the God of the universe stop what He's doing and walk in your home? You know what a profound thing it is to have the God of the universe stop what He's doing and come in here and tell me on the floor over there that this is His favorite place to be on Sabbath morning and you're in here. This is His favorite place on the whole planet to come in here and receive the worship of the people and you're the people whose worship He's receiving. Come on, somebody. That's shouting ground. The New Testament talks about holy but doesn't define it. Leviticus 11, verse 44. This whole chapter are the rules for what animals you can eat and what animals you cannot eat. In the Greek, it's called broma. These are the rules for broma. Anything that's not broma is not even considered food. All rabbis will tell you unclean food is an oxymoron. If it's not clean, it's not food. I've tried to use the example of our cars. Everybody can figure that out. That's a simple, easy thing. No one goes to the gas station and puts the diesel fuel in their gasoline car. Amen? I know a friend did it by mistake. Did you know that the nozzle's bigger and won't even fit in the hole so that you can't just do it? The car went broom. And that was it. It'd come tow the car out of the gas station. The car had to have the gas tank removed and steam cleaned. The entire fuel system had to be flushed. The motor had to be torn down and rebuilt. That's just diesel fuel in a gasoline engine. But diesel fuel runs in a diesel engine just fine, doesn't it? And yet we want to put stuff in our bodies that God said your body was not made to have it put in. Your body was not made for pig. Your body wasn't made for pig. I don't care what you do to the pig, your body won't run on it right. And it's going to cause problems and complications. I don't care what you do to the pig, if you put it in here, you're going to have problems. Shrimp. Come on, everybody. Everybody loved them when they were not saved. Come on, I've eaten my share of them. They won't run in here. I don't care what you do to it, it won't run. Lobster. I remember the old Pappy and Jimmy's lobster shack down in Memphis, Tennessee. I had a dollar bill on my 10th birthday. Pappy himself pulled a dollar bill out of the register and wrote, "Happy birthday" from Pappy on that dollar bill. I had it forever. I've eaten enough lobster in there to repopulate half of Maine. It won't run in here, y'all. It's not made for you. It's not made for you. God tells you in this chapter what is made to run in your body. But we're not talking about health today. We're talking about the presence of the Lord. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost inside you. Verse 44. I am Yahweh Eloheinu. Now we talked about the Shema, right? Everybody's heard me talk about the Shema. Eloheinu is personal possessive. Personal possessive. This word here, Lord, in all caps, in every Bible in America, means Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. Yahweh. Yahweh Eloheinu. So, look, you can't run and hide from this verse. Don't tell me that's Old Testament. I don't want to hear about it. Yahweh Eloheinu is talking to you. Is Yahweh your Eloheinu? Is Yahweh your personal possessive God? Come on, think about that. Is Yahweh your personal possessive God? If Yahweh's not your God, this doesn't apply to you. But if Yahweh is your God, and Jesus said that He was Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, it's in the New Testament, 2 or 3 times, Brother Eckhart pointed it out to us. See, I'm bringing Brother Eckhart because he points out a lot of good stuff, and whatever he says that's wrong, we'll just live with it because he's going to point out enough stuff to you it's worth it, okay? Consecrate yourself and be holy because Yahweh is holy. Yahweh is a holy God. And He's telling you to consecrate yourself and make your flesh holy because He's a holy God. Do not make yourself unclean by any creature that moves on the ground. So all of these creatures in this chapter, Leviticus 11, He's told you don't make yourself unclean by means of them. You know, the stuff we're teaching here, y'all, it's not because we made it up or because we want to be different. It's because it's what the Bible says. I'm just giving you straight word. This is the church of straight word. I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking away from it. I'm not embellishing it. I'm not ripping a verse out of context and telling you something that it doesn't really mean. I'm telling you straight word. See, a lot of people don't want straight word. You throw straight word down, people go running and screaming. Ah! This is straight word. It makes it powerful. But let me tell you a little secret. It also makes it binding. It also makes it binding. You come in here and I show you a straight word and you don't live by it, you are condemning and judging yourself. Now look, a lot of folks have come in this place and a lot of folks have gone out of this place. And the folks that turned away from the straight word of God, it has not gone well for them. Everyone that's come in here and has embraced the straight word of God, their life has gone good. They've had trials, they've been tested, but they've come through. Praise God, they've been stronger and stronger Christians. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They pray in tongues. They get dreams. They get visions. They get word. They get miraculous things happen in their life. And everyone that's rejected straight word has gone out of here into utter destruction. Their lives are completely devastated. We're not telling you. You can ask anybody that's been here a long time. They'll tell you, we got stories. We don't want you to be one of them. We want you to be one of the stories where the miraculous things happen in your life and the dreams and the visions come and the power of the Holy Ghost is strong and you lay hands and things happen. We want you to be one of the strong. We want you to be one of the strong. We're showing you holiness because holiness is how you walk in the power of God. Holiness is how you walk in the Holy Ghost. Holiness is how you have the power of the Holy Ghost in you where you pray in tongues without ceasing, as it says in the Bible, and power and signs follow. Be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourself unclean by any creature that moves about on the ground. I am Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. And this is quoted in 2 Corinthians at the end of chapter 6 and the first part of chapter 7. He's telling you, touch not the unclean thing, and that quote is in your reference. Right in the margin. So in the New Testament, when they're telling you to be clean, in the New Testament, when they're telling you to be holy, in the New Testament, when they're talking to you about holiness, it always goes back to those two verses, Leviticus 11, verse 44 and 45. You can't get around eating unclean foods if you want to walk in holiness. If people wonder why that the power of the Holy Spirit is diminishing in Pentecostal church, it's because they're eating stuff God said don't eat. They're eating stuff that said, I will make you unclean and not holy, and they're eating it anyway, and God has given them 100 years to figure this out. He's patient. He's patient. But He won't trifle with us forever. Now time is up. We're living in the last days. He's looking for a people on this earth who will consecrate themselves to be holy so that He can break out and move among the people. And I'm not talking about just those of us sitting here. He has placed you on display out there so that when His power breaks out in you and things start happening with you, you will be on display. Not so that you can be like the people around you. Not so that you can get weak in the face of weakness and go bad in the face of bad and be immoral in the face of immorality. But so that you can stand out and show them holiness. True holiness and godliness in the face of an evil and wicked generation. You are called. And you're wondering why Bev has been sent to nursing school? Do you know the power that will happen when she starts laying hands on people when the sick are coming through there on parade? Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. When she's working in the field, man, she's feeling it. Look at her. Where has God placed you in your life? Ever wonder why Liz is at the blood bank? Think about that for a minute. You ever wonder about that? And she's coming into a walk of pure holiness. Think about how many lives can be touched because the life is in the blood, somebody. Come on, the life is in the blood, somebody. You talk about putting life on a big scale all over the place. How many people need blood in this community? Woo! And all of a sudden, holiness can be brought into the facility. Come on, think about that. That's some power right there. Every one of us has an opportunity. I don't care if you're just walking down the grocery store, man. Right. People are supposed to feel the presence of God when you're walking into Kroger. They're supposed to feel the presence of God when you're walking into Walmart. When you go through the drive-in at McDonald's, they're supposed to feel the power of holiness. That's why you're not taken out of the world. You're put on display where you are.
Hallelujah.
Brenda's son works at the largest car dealer in this county. Maybe in West Tennessee outside of Memphis. Think about that for a minute. There are tens of that. I almost wanted to do a tax service in that office right there. Came very close to doing it. Very close. Because, I mean, look, I know all those folks. There's a lot of people go through there. They got a great reputation. Just imagine a little power of holiness at weekly pay. Oh, we're talking capacity to touch a lot of people. All by the example and the power of walking in holiness. Oh, they all know. Because you know what? I've been there several times when they're eating, and they always have unclean food there. And I never eat it. And they give me a hard time every time. But I'm happy about it now. They're my friends. I don't care. They can rag me. It's all right. But it's the example. They all know I won't eat this. If I walk in there right now, they'll know I don't eat it. If they're having biscuits and tenderloin, they'll know Shilts ain't having none. And something to be said. That's a witness and example to all those people. This is God's way of holiness. Walk you in it. Walk you in it. Exodus chapter 31. These are things that set you apart. You don't think so? Just let it be known that you don't eat pork and see how quickly you are set apart from everybody else. Come on, y'all. This is the Southland. Pork's in everything. As soon as you tell them you're not eating that mess, you are quickly set aside. That's what God said, right? Sanctified. You want to be sanctified? It don't come from another, from praying in tongues. It comes from walking the life. The praying in tongues comes after you're sanctified by walking the life, not before. Exodus chapter 31.
Verse 12.
Then Yahweh said to Moshe, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath." That's plural, right? Everybody got an S in their Bible? That doesn't mean 52 in a year. That means the weekly Sabbath. It means unleavened bread. It means Pentecost. It means trumpets. It means atonement. It means tabernacles. It means all of the times God set apart and said, this is a Sabbath for you. It's right there. Exodus 31. Holy days, weekly Sabbath, it's all there. Sabbaths, plural. This will be a sign between me and you forever. Okay, is forever over yet? People say it's over already. It's forever over. This phrase in the NIV that's translated for the generations to come is the Hebrew phrase ha olam, which means forever. It means without end. You must observe my Sabbaths without ending. Wow, that's heavy. Why? Why do we have to observe the Sabbaths? Because it's a sign between you and the eternal creator God. He's listed in here as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the only God, the true God, the living God. The creator is telling you that his Sabbaths are a sign between him and you. Sign for what? What's it a sign for? So that you may know that I am Yahweh. That's two names. The I am is a name. The I am is a name. Hayah in Hebrew. The I am that I am. That's the name he gave Moses. It's Hayah, Yahweh, the I am that I am, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, your God who makes you holy. You cannot be holy if you don't keep the Sabbath. You cannot walk in holiness if you don't keep the Sabbaths, plural, all of them. When you work on Sabbath, you just took yourself out of the holy column and put yourself in the common column. Wow. You cannot be holy if you don't keep the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is the only sign that Yahweh is making you holy. Come on now. It's right there in the words. I didn't mix that up. That's context too, baby. Because before he's going to tell you, or after this, he's going to tell you all about the Sabbath and that you can't work and he's going to require the death penalty. You stop and think about that. You're living in the last days. There is few things in the Bible more important than something that God says if you do that, you're going to die. Because you're staring the great tribulation right in the face where all the Christians are going to be killed. Do you really want to go into great tribulation with a death sentence on you? Well, let me tell you a little secret. If you repent in the tribulation, you still got to die. Because all Christians will be killed in the tribulation, or you'll take the mark of the beast. If you go to the tribulation, you're going to die in the tribulation. Do you understand that? If you break the Sabbath, this passage of Scripture says, you will be put to death. Oh, that's hard, man. No, it's easy if you start living the Sabbath now on this side of the judgment. Hey, 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 we like this side of the judgment. And we like walking in holiness and doing those things that God says you will surely live. Hey, we like that. Come on, somebody, give him some praise. Verse 15. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. This is a sign or a seal of holiness. We want every one of you to achieve holiness in your life. That means you. That's why we pound on the same things all the time. Now look, that doesn't mean you can lie. You go around telling stories, man. You're toast. You want to go around committing adultery. Hey, adultery in the Ten Commandments is not just you being married and having sex with somebody else, or you're married and they're married and you're having sex. Adultery means all of the sexual sins in that chapter of Leviticus. You can't be committing any sexual sin. Sex has got to be one man and one woman married for life. Come on. That's the only way it can be. We're going to have a message on that later in the summer. Like I was telling Kelly last night, it will not be K-rated. It's going to be R-rated. Not meaning bad, but Raina-rated. It's going to be Raina-rated. It's not going to be R-rated. It's R for Raina, not R for graphic. So it's going to be Raina-rated. Okay, it'll be safe. But the reason I'm going to talk about it is because there's so much immorality. There's so much misunderstanding with this awesome gift that God gave us and how it's supposed to be used, when, where, and how, and the blessing that comes from it. Come on, man. I mean, there's a lot to it that we just read over because the world trained us in sexuality. Come on, let's face it. You know, everything I learned in the world. Everything I've learned from the world. We need to go back and learn from God what a great gift it is. Look, God said very good. He didn't just say it was good. He didn't just say, oh, it's acceptable. You know, it's something that you have to get by with because you're weak in your flesh. No, He said, this is very good. It's God's best for you. Hey, that's pretty cool. But it's only God's best if you use it the way He told you to use it, in the means and proper manner that He told you to use it. Because anything outside of that, it's not going to be God's best. It's going to be the devil's worst. You hear what I'm saying to you? It's going to be the devil's worst. Leviticus 23, verse 4. These are the Lord's appointed feasts. The sacred assemblies you're to proclaim at their appointed times. Sacred. These are the Lord's sacred feasts. Starts with the Sabbath. Wow, isn't that amazing? No, I'm sorry. Sabbath's verse 3. He's going to go through the holy days. These are the sacred assemblies. If you want to be holy and you want to walk in holiness, you can't miss these. They are sacred time. Next Sunday is going to be sacred. So, holy time is going to start Friday night at sundown next week, and it's going to end Sunday night at sundown, and you're going to be in holy time for 48 solid hours. Praise God. Hey, that's pretty cool, man. Now, what great things happened on Pentecost? God gave the Ten Commandments on Pentecost. God gave the Ten Commandments on Pentecost. God gave the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. Hey, that's pretty good. Those are great things that have happened on Pentecost. Those are great things. It's always on a Sunday. Isn't that amazing? You ever wonder about that? You want a nugget? I shouldn't even give this up before next week. I hate to do it. Huh? Do you know how many times Easter falls at Passover week? That means even the Sunday remnant that God still has is keeping Pentecost. See, He's got a remnant everywhere. And this captures even them on that day. Huh? We ain't going to get to all of them. Let's just face it. We don't get to all of them. They ain't all going to hear it even if we told it to them. Leviticus chapter 27. Y'all will get that after a while. You can get to thinking about that. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil, fruit from the trees, belongs to Yahweh. It is holy to the Lord. If we're going to walk in holiness, we have to learn how to distinguish between common and holy. And we've got to learn to handle the holy things with the reverence and the awe of God that they deserve. Amen? Holy. Holy. You know, this is the house of God. Right? This building is the house of God. The Jewish temple meets here. We've met here most of the time since May of 96. Y'all didn't realize that. We've been in here almost 13 years. It's amazing, isn't it? Remember signing the lease late April. Starting in May of 96. I even have it in a file somewhere. The original lease we signed for this building. It's holy. Now, a lot of people haven't really considered this building to be holy. And it hasn't always been treated like it was holy. But you know, regardless of what else happens in this building, the time we meet here for service, Jesus walks in this room. I've seen Him in this room. He tells me He's in this room. I've seen Him touch some of y'all. I've heard Him tell me He touches some of y'all. He walks in this room. When Moses confronted Jesus in the Bible, Jesus told him from the bush, take off your shoes because the ground where you're standing is holy ground. Take your shoes off. You're in holy ground. If Jesus walks in this room in the Spirit of God, this is holy. The time is holy. The space is holy. The things are holy. Everything becomes holy. Why? Because the presence of God has touched it. We have to learn to treat God's things with holy reverence. That's why we don't spend tithe money for just anything. People say, well, Pastor Bill, other churches do it. Why don't you want to do it that way? Hey, that money's holy. When you put your tithes in that pail right there, it becomes holy. It's holy. Actually, to be perfectly honest with you, from the time you get your paycheck and the thought crosses the synapses in your brain that I'm going to set my tithe apart, that money becomes holy. That money's holy. And when it goes in the checkbook, I think about that money's holy. That money has to be spent on something consistent with not just the IRS, because you hear me talk about that sometimes, because I don't want to be audited and get in trouble and blah, blah, blah. That money has to be spent in accordance with this Word of God right here in a way that God... Because look, you got to give account for giving it, but I got to give account for how it's spent. Amen? You've got to have some oversight on how it's spent, because if I take your tithe and do something stupid with it, you sowed into that. Ooh, that's not good. So I think about that when I spend the tithe. And I can't say that I've been perfect with it, but I tell you one thing, I've been reverent, and I have thought and prayed hard about every dime of it, because I've got to give account for every penny of the Lord's money. Oh, wow. See, we got to look at things holy. That's why you take care of your body. Why? Because it's the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't take care, God says those who destroy His temple, He will destroy. Ooh. Oh, that's not cool. That's way not cool. We got to take care of our body because Jesus dwells in here. He dwells in here. He dwells in here. That's why we handle things a certain way. We want this to be holy to God, so that He's comfortable. You know, we talk about church all the time, you know, seeker sensitive. You want to make new folks comfortable. Well, yeah, I do. But who I really want to make comfortable is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Him to be so comfortable in here that this is the best place He goes outside of heaven. That He feels like He's wanted, He's loved, He's comfortable. That He feels like He is the one that the service is all about. I want Him lifted up and shown to be holy. I want Him to be regarded with reverence and awe and adoration and love and respect when He's in the house. That everybody comes to church expecting I'm going to get my time with the Lord when I come to Hungry Heart Service. It ain't about me babbling on up here or any other folks that we have preach. It's about His presence and how we treat Him and how we deal with Him and how we worship Him and how we love Him and how we adore Him. People don't like our music sometimes. Oh, well. He likes it. We're asking Him what He wants to hear, what music He wants, how He likes it. Why? Because I'm not so much worried about how flesh is uncomfortable in the worship service. I'm worried about how the Spirit of Jesus Christ in this room is happy in the worship. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's what it's all about. 1 Thessalonians. Now, we laid out important rules for holiness. We covered the 4 points of a God-fearer. Did you notice that? The 4 points of God-fearing. Sabbath, holy days, dietary laws, and tithing. 4 points. Holiness. There are some additional issues. We talked about animals torn. But you know what? None of y'all are going to find maybe this is the South. Look, you come up on a deer kill, you can't take the meat. It's roadkill. Come on now, I know we had fun with the Beverly Hillbillies and all that fun stuff, and we're from Tennessee, and we can do all that, but that's just fun, right? Somebody hits a deer and you come up on it, man, don't take the deer. It ain't, don't belong to you. Now, if you kill the deer, that's different. Take it home and bleed it. All right, but if you come up on it, you're holy. Don't do that. I say that we are in Tennessee. I mean, it does happen here a lot. I know two people that didn't take their deer when they killed it, and they came back. Oh, I'll get it, and I'm going to go eat dinner. It'll be there in an hour. Oh, no. Four-wheel drive tracks all over that place. Man, deer is gone, Jack. You living in the South. Somebody comes up on a deer, and it's still warm. You can kiss it goodbye. It's over. They taking it home. Come on. Come on. I mean, this is Tennessee. I mean, ain't nobody leaving the deer on the side of the road. Look, I knew a trooper that kept a surgical kit in the trunk of his car and an ice chest back there every night. And he worked deer kills all the time. He'd just go right out there and cut the tenderloin out of the back and put it in the freezer. I'm not making that up. That's a real story. He said he never, ever had to buy meat. He worked enough deer kills that he always had fresh deer tenderloin, all he wanted. That's all he ate. I thought, that's pretty cool. Wasn't bled properly though. See, but he's not living right. He's not holy. It doesn't matter to him. But I need you to be holy. I need you to be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower here before too long. Maybe you can get an understanding of why you need to be. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. He instructed them same as I'm telling you. He's instructed these people how to live in order to please God. Holiness is how to please God, as in fact you were living. Okay, we need everybody to come up to, in fact, living by the rules of holiness. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. To be observant, to be mindful, to be looking for holiness, to be discerning between common and holy and clean and unclean. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that set apart for holy use. And now he's going to talk about another issue that we have not brought up. Of you know that you should avoid sexual immorality. Oh, it's so prevalent. Oh my goodness, you can't turn TV on without seeing something that you're not supposed to see. It's everywhere. And I'm not telling you to turn your TVs off and get rid of them like a lot of folks do. But I'm just telling you, we've got to avoid this. We've got to make sure we understand that sex has to be one man and one woman married for life. This is important. Now, a lot of us didn't live right before we got saved. I'm not concerned with what things you got into before Jesus called you. I'm not really concerned too much about the things you got into before you walked in that door over there. But once you come in here, I'm very concerned about how we conduct our flesh. He says that each of us should learn to control our own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. And yet we hear stories all the time of ministers taking advantage of people. People in the church hunting for other people in church to commit immorality. I mean, that's wickedness, man. The Lord will punish, it says men, but that word is not men in the sense of males. That word is men in the sense of mankind. He will punish all human beings for such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Whether it be sexual immorality, or dietary laws, or tithing, or the holy days, or any of the things we've talked about. God called you to live a holy life in every part of your life, but that means you have to read the Torah because the rules for holiness are in the Torah. That's why we talk about, we don't have time for Torah portions. Every one of y'all needs to have read the Torah twice already and be down in the New Testament figuring out what they're saying. See, we can't afford a passage of Scripture. We need you wholesale in your Bible, man, just tearing it up. I mean, wearing it out. Don't look at a Bible as something you're going to keep the rest of your life. Perry Stone was talking about giving away one of his Bibles. He said, I've got 17 of them. They're all marked up full of notes. Some of them are taped up. They're falling apart. They're wore out. He's always having to get a new Bible. I want you wearing your Bibles out. If your Bible still look new and you've been here more than a year, something's wrong. Your Bible needs to be slapped, wore out. Why? Because you've been in it. You've been in it. What does the old saying go? People whose Bibles are falling apart usually have lives that aren't. People whose Bibles are falling apart usually have lives that aren't. For God did not call you to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God who gives you his Holy Spirit. It's not called the Holy Spirit for no reason. It's called the Holy Spirit because it's holy. And you can't have the Holy Spirit living in your body while you're carrying your flesh in an unholy manner. Now look, I understand that when you read the rules for holiness, you're going to find bodily issues that no human being can avoid while they live in flesh. But how we handle those bodily issues matters. The cleanliness, the hygiene, the way we conduct ourselves like men and women who are children of the living God. That matters. Food comes in, we have to handle ourselves well. Water comes in, we have to handle ourselves well. The body has other issues, both male and female, we have to handle ourselves well. We have to be mindful of the fact that God walks in the camp and how we handle our... Look, how many of y'all have ever had a cat or a dog? They do things that gross us out, don't they? They cannot handle their hygiene well, and it grosses us out to watch it. Amen? Okay, think about God in that manner. He's looking at you. Are you handling yourself in a way that doesn't gross Him out? Come on. He wants you to be holy so you can be like Him. I'm trying to make this real without getting too ugly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you check the context of all these verses, you're going to find that I've given you everything in context. I haven't distorted anything or taken it out. Verse 20. Y'all ready for this? Because I'm going to blow you away. Are you ready for this? It's going to be good now. verse 20. In a large house, there are many vessels, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble are holy use, and some are for ignoble, are unholy use. If a man cleanses himself from unholy, he will be an instrument for holy purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Your vessel that you're walking around in. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that you are carrying the Holy Spirit in a jar of clay. You're carrying the Holy Ghost in a jar of clay. Is your jar holy or common? Are you sanctified and set apart for any good work that God has for you? Or are you just there to do menial work that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God? Where are you? Where's your vessel? Are you sanctified? You know, when Jesus turned the water into wine, those were Jewish jars of purification. And did you realize, of course, you probably didn't reading over the story, those jars had been set apart for the required number of days and they were then holy. Those jars had been washed and set apart until they were holy. Wow. Are you set apart? You were washed in the water of baptism. You were filled with the Holy Spirit. You've had the blood sprinkled on you. God has done His part to make you holy. Have you done your part to keep yourself holy? Because once you're made common, you've got to go through the whole process again of washing yourself, putting aside the stuff, going through the days of purification, come on somebody, and being re-sprinkled. We're supposed to maintain holiness. Maintain holiness. You got me. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. This is a heavy revelation. I'm just trying to give it to you in a good way where you can just receive it because it's going to be awesome. Did y'all feel the power of God real strong in here today?
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, you hear us talk about how great it is to go parry stones, but let me tell you a little secret. It is so much greater to come in here. You know why? Because the people are holy. Because the ground is holy. Because the room is holy. Because this room has become a hot spot for Jesus to show up. That doesn't exist when you go off somewhere. You know that? You got to worship Him in. People don't understand what we do when we go to Perry Stones and we're doing certain things over there. We're worshiping in the presence of God. And then later they say, oh yeah, the presence of God really came in strong at the end of the week. They didn't know that it took a holy people to go in there and light the place on fire first. Right? This is always lit. This is always lit. You don't have to come in here and work up the Holy Spirit because it's always ready here. Amen? You ever notice how come we have so much presence here? Boy, I always feel it when I go down there. You ever wonder that? But you go other places and you don't always feel it like that. Holiness. Holiness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. Atoms aren't made yet. The Big Bang hasn't happened yet. The universe that you know and look at out in the stars, it does not exist yet. And before all of that, He chose you. By name, by face, by spirit, He chose you. What did He choose you for? What did He choose you? Sitting in this room in Hungry Hearts right now and listening to us on tape. What did He choose you for? To be common? To live like the world? To blend in? To be just an average Joe or Jane? No. He chose you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. He chose you to walk in holiness and to be on display to show other people this is holiness. He did not choose you to blend in and conform to the world with its practices all steeped in paganism and to go over and to give yourself over to the things that are in the world. Because let me tell you something. Terrible times are coming. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Listen very carefully. This is going to be so important to you. God is going to gather the holy vessels into His temple in heaven, and He is going to take the unholy, the common vessels, and purge them with fire. The holy vessels are going to the Lord at His temple in heaven, and the common vessels are all going to be purged with fire. This is no time to be playing church. No time to be trifling in your Bible. This is a time to turn to God because you were called and predestinated and chosen by Him to be holy. No one in the sound of my voice can say, well, God didn't really choose me to be holy. I'm just supposed to be common. Every one of us was chosen to be holy and blameless and pure in His sight. But it's our choice how we're going to carry our flesh, either in holiness or commonality. Okay, go to Numbers. Chapter 31. You got to see this. These are the rules for the purification of vessels. Huh? The rules for the purification of vessels. What is your vessel like? What is your vessel like? What do you do with your vessel? You're carrying around the most precious treasure that's ever existed, the Spirit of the living God, in a jar of clay. What are you doing with your vessel? Are you carrying it into common? Are you doing common things with it? Are you letting it become unclean by reason of whatever? Or are you keeping your vessel holy with your mind in reverence to the Lord? Numbers chapter 31, verse 21. Then Eleazar said to the priest who had gone into the battle, this is the requirement of the law that Yahweh gave Moshe. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, and anything else that can withstand fire must be put through the fire, and then it will be clean. But it must also be purified with the water of cleansing. And whatever cannot withstand water must be put through that water. And on the seventh day, wash your clothes and you will be clean. Then you may come into the camp. So if you take your vessel in an unholy, common manner, and you let your vessel be defiled by reason of the animals that crawl on the ground, or an issue of some type, or sexual immorality, then your vessel has to go through the fire, and you still gotta wait 7 days, which is the exact number of years of the tribulation. Then you will be clean and can come back into camp. Who wants to be left outside and go through the fire? That's the law of purifying a vessel. It has to be burned in the fire. Revelation chapter 3. I tell you, God's a holy God. He's not breaking His rules for you. Amen? He loves you dearly, but He is not going to say, ah, well, you know, my servant, put your name in the blank. Ah, I know I'm a just God and I don't have respect for men whatsoever, but I tell you what, I'm letting them in without going. But everybody else has to do it. Somebody was telling me about somebody saying that their job was okay for them to work on the Sabbath, and I told an individual, I said, that's what they all say. Whether they're having sex with your wife or somebody else's kid, they always say it's okay for them. Whether they're lying or stealing, it's always okay for them. Oh, everybody else, all those heathens are going to burn in hell, but it's okay for me to break God's laws because the Lord and I are tight. Let me tell you something. If you want to be tight with the Lord, then you have a hard, hard mind and a hard head to obey His laws to the detail, and that you don't bend for anybody. As long as you show favoritism of persons where there somebody can break His laws, you will never be buds with the Lord. When you obey Him, no matter what cost to yourself, then you can be real close buds with the Lord because that's the way He is. That's the way He thinks. That's the way He lives. He had to die to pay for you. He would not relinquish your penalty. He sent His only Son to die in your place. Come on, somebody. He will not bend on His law. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I pretended to be holy, but I really just didn't want to be holy. I like to walk around in church and have everybody say, oh, brother or sister so-and-so, a great man or woman of God. But I really wasn't living it. And I liked to be common when I felt like it. And I wanted to get ugly and nasty with all the things that God said not to do because I just couldn't bring myself to obey His law. There it is right there. I wish that you were either cold or hot. I'd rather have you a heathen. I know I'm going to chastise you in the wrath of God. Or I'd rather be you red hot. I know to come and get you. But instead, you were just mealy-mouthed with me. You were trifling. You were playing games in church. You said you were holy in the eyes of the people, so they respected you and thought well of you. But you weren't living holy, and I had no respect for you. That's where you're at. So, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and increased with goods and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Why? Because you're not walking in holiness. You're not. These people are not walking in holiness. Therefore, they need. They're not rich and increased with goods. It's the men and women who are walking in holiness that are rich and increased with goods. Though you may be poor in the wealth of this world, you have treasure in heaven. Though you go without and are scorned by men and have no respect in the eyes of other believers, you will have a position of authority in the kingdom of heaven. Because you walked in holiness. And the more trials you have to go through over holiness, and the more people persecute you over holiness, the more treasure and the more wealth and the more power you will have in the kingdom of God. And we want to run away from those things when that's what's building our position in heaven. Verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can be rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and white garments of the righteous deeds. Deeds, not wishes. The righteous deeds. I hear people all the time. Speak it as though it were not. Okay, there's a time and place for that. But you can't speak righteous deeds if you're not living them. You're either living the deeds or you ain't. And if you ain't, you ain't got. If you walk in righteousness, you got white garments. He's saying, buy white garments. Turn away from that mess while there's still yet time. And walk in holiness before me. What's the last one? And salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. And we open with the verse, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We have to have holiness to see the Lord. We have to have deeds of living, this way of life, that our nakedness is covered. We have to go through the fire of the persecutions, of the things that happen when we're on display living God's life. This is holiness. Oh, that's crazy. You're full of it. That's nothing. All these churches can't be wrong. The Bible doesn't say that. You know all the junk they talk to you when you live this way of life. We've got to be willing to stand out there on display for God. This is what the Bible said. This is the verse for that. This is the verse for the other. This is the verse for the thing that you're upset about. This is what the Bible says, and I'm going to live it. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. All of these churches are deceived. The Bible says that Satan, the devil's deceived the whole world, and they're just part of it. I want godliness. I want holiness. I want to walk in true passion and love and worship and adoration for my God in the name of Jesus, my Messiah. Great Heavenly Father, I thank You, I praise You, I glorify You. I've lifted You up and exalted You and shown You to be the holy God in the eyes of all these people. I ask right now that You quicken this word in their heart. I ask that You quicken this word in the Spirit of God that lives in each person that hears this message. And I'm asking that You would quake them down under the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would feel the need to walk in holiness and live in holiness so that they can experience You, great Jesus, our Messiah, that they can experience the power and the presence of the Holy God. In Yeshua's holy name we pray. Amen and amen.